I asked the press freedom question because the committee to protect journalists and other groups usually put Eritrea at the bottom of a list of where journalists are freely allowed to operate. That's why I asked you.
Yeah, you're right. Because this is not a matter of freedom of expression. This is a matter of sabotage, organized sabotage by individuals hired by intelligence agencies from outside. And this is no secret. You can go and refer to WikiLeaks. We've even ignored some of these individuals who've been working with foreign governments, taking money, providing distorted information about the reality here. Even when we know that, we simply ignore them because they're insignificant, they don't mean anything here. Mm-hmm. But this is not a matter of freedom of expression or not freedom of expression. It's a matter of external aggression, physical and material involvement in how the governments deal with that. I mean, it's ironic because people would say about safety. I mean, when George Bush was saying he wanted to make America safe and fights wars thousands of kilometers, he had the right to protect the United States, even by going beyond limits. We are a very small country, and when there is external aggression coming, I think it's our legitimate right to protect our national security. Mm. And this has nothing to do with freedom of expression at all.
Now, Mr. President, your government has been concerned about the border between Eritrea and Ethiopia. Legally, it has been agreed. Physically, it hasn't been. And your government has always expressed concern that pillars have not been put in place to clearly demarcate the border. Although your government said the legality is on your side, the legal ruling is on your side, what are you doing about it? Because your government seemed to be frustrated that...
No. We are very relaxed.
Okay.
We are very relaxed. A frustrated person cannot wait for 10 years. The verdict has been there for quite a long time. There are no controversies there. And imagine, we look at it from a historical perspective. We aspire to, in solidarity with the people in Ethiopia, to create a new opportunity for both the people in Ethiopia and Eritrea and the region as a whole. And our fight during the 90s and 80s was ultimately aimed at achieving these shared goals. We couldn't do that because of external intervention. I'm not talking about regimes here or there or government here or there. That's not an issue. We've lost an opportunity because of this irrelevant fabricated border issue. We could have lived without it. We could have overcome it or left it behind us. We could have fostered very solid relationship with the people of Ethiopia. We've lost that opportunity. That may be a concern, not the border issue, whether it's demarcated virtually or polls put in place there to demarcate. That's irrelevant. It's resolved. What concerns anyone is the opportunity we have lost. And who has created this crisis? It's not the government in Ethiopia alone. The government in Ethiopia, because of its internal problems, may have tried to benefit from this crisis and keep it on so as to justify other things. Otherwise, it's irrelevant. Technically, doesn't make any sense. Legally, it's resolved. And we're not worried about this. We're not even thinking about that. And the problem is for the United States government that has intervened continually without any justifiable reason, legal or political, to keep us hostage to this crisis and to this border conflict. I mean, why wasn't it implemented? Do you think the government in Ethiopia has all the might to mobilize or even dictate its conditionalities on the Security Council? Could that have been possible without the direct involvement of Washington? That's the main issue. That's where we are trying to address the issue. We're saying, leave us alone. Leave us alone because we have lost an opportunity. We would like to build on our future without your interference. And this border problem is resolved.
So, Mr. President, how you talk about a missed opportunity to foster good relations with your with Addis Ababa. How can you regain that? How can you foster good relations with your neighbor, which not only transcends the people of Eritrea and the people of Ethiopia, but transcends the region, to make the region stronger, to improve security, to improve working together to bolster security and ensure peace in the region?
It's a problem of the ones who are blocking this opportunity to come again, to come and be available to the people of both countries. You may be thinking about negotiating with the government here or there, or trying to make an arrangement for solving this problem. That's not the issue. It's not a question of the government in Ethiopia. The government in Ethiopia has got its own reality, its own problems, and this problem is not going to be solved. Had there been, it's a very simple logical equation that you may have in mind. If the ultimate culprit for this crisis, even since its genesis and the time it was complicated, until it led to war and finally led to an arbitration and a decision was made on this issue, the number one complicator to this day is Washington. Does anyone deny this fact? Washington may try to find an excuse behind, there has to be dialogue on what? There has to be negotiations on what? On the border issue, that's finished. You don't even have the pretext of saying there is a controversy, there is a conflict, there is this and that on this issue, and we would like to. But that's not, it's very transparent now. To regain the lost opportunity, we need to take this factor out of the equation, which has complicated our lives, and it's costing us a lot. I'm not blaming anyone in Ethiopia, the government or the other government. We need to know who the culprit is on this matter. We want to regain that opportunity. How do we do it?
That was my question. That was going to be my question.
How do we do it? Mm-hmm. Number one, the simplest thing is for Washington to pull out from this process. Don't keep us hostage. Don't use us as a pretext for your intervention in the region. Don't use this border issue as an excuse for expanding your influence in the region. If you have interest, we are not bothered about that. There could be shared interest. We can discuss that. The region can find a way of discussing it. But leave us alone. It's not for the people of Eritrea and Ethiopia that this opportunity is lost. After 91, when we started, we said we need to have a very stable and prosperous neighborhood, and for that matter, IGAD was revived. Sudan was there, Eritrea was there, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Somalia were there. It may have been an ideal for everybody, but do we really have a neighborhood that includes all these countries who are feeling comfortable with their environment, stable? No. Why? The complication in this region has come as a result of the direct and indirect intervention of Washington. And for us to solve the problem, we cannot in isolation solve this problem by tricks here and there, and no one has any crystal ball. We need to go back to our roots and say, we have to be aware about finding a solution to this problem. I can't go and ask the party that is the cause of the problem and party to the complication to give me a solution anyway. It's an uphill struggle, but it doesn't have any other alternative. Yes, we can regret that we have lost an opportunity, but we're not giving up. We're working day and night to regain that opportunity. How it comes is not very difficult to imagine, but practically creating that environment requires a lot of effort, and you have to have a clean or a ground very much prepared for that eventuality.
Now, Mr. President, when you look at the East African community, Eritrea used to play a very prominent role in IGAD. It pulled out. Now it wants to rejoin IGAD. Why the need to rejoin, and what would you want IGAD to do in, one, fostering good relations between all the neighbors in the sub-region, and two, preventing the insecurity? Because recently, you know, there have been explosions in Kenya, some in Uganda, and other areas. How do you want this sub-region to be safe with Eritrea's role in IGAD and other sub-regional members to bolster security in the region?
I think let's be clear on this. It's a collective effort. It's a collective endeavor. And no one single country can make a major difference. Not at all. I mean, we've been very realistic when we said we need to create this community of IGAD. Everyone was sincere and committed to that collective objective for everyone. And it could only be achieved by modest, major contributions from all member countries. Unless it's collective, we will never be able to achieve anything. And no one big or small partner in that collective will have a decisive role in changing. Even the smallest partners will have to make their contribution. This is basic. How do you do that? Now, let's go back and learn from our experience. We have this border issue with Ethiopia. You have Somalia. They fabricated another border issue here. Now we have Sudan, north and south. There is a problem there. You have a problem in Kenya. You have a problem in Uganda. Why haven't we been able to solve these problems? When initially we agreed that we collectively will create a stable environment that will allow prosperity for the collective. Why have we failed? We have to ask everybody else, and we have to look at it in a broader scale. It's not phenomenal here in the Horn of Africa, but it's phenomenal along the continent. The continent remains marginalized. Who is making our lives very difficult? In the pretense that there is goodwill, there is partnership, and people want to help us, that's not been the case all along. And facts on the ground can prove that. Now, let's go back to our roots and find an environment. How do we create this environment in the first place where we can dialogue? Definitely, IGAD came, was a problem. Somalia intervention 2006, it was unfair for anyone, member country within IGAD, to interfere in Somalia without any justifiable reason. And what was the result of that? More of complication in the country. Now, are we here to create conflicts and multiply conflicts and ultimately try to be seen as wise people who solve this conflict? Or do we have a common goal and we're working and making our modest contribution to that? That's our aspiration. We would like to see that happen. We would like to see the countries in the region independently, without any external interference, to find solutions for their own problems rather than opportunistically take advantage of circumstances and work towards benefiting from support from outside. That is not sustainable. So it's a challenge we have to face, and unless we overcome this challenge, it's going to be very difficult for us to imagine that we can create a collectively stable and prospering environment.
So what will you do, Mr. President, as a member of IGAD, knowing some of these challenges and difficulties that you've enumerated? How do you want to see IGAD perform, and what role can you play as the president of Eritrea to bring to bear some of these concerns, to collectively address them, to create the enabling environment you expressed to resolve the challenges in the region?
We don't overextend our
I understand our
means. We are very realistic, but again, it's not a problem of IGAD. If you talk about lost opportunity in this sub-region, imagine the loss of opportunity at the continent level. We've been talking about the African Union for the last 12 or 13 years. 12 years have been wasted at the continental level because we had the Organization of African Union and people said, well, this is not the appropriate continental organizations. We have to find a better organization, because the founding values, the dreams, the ideals that were there did not materialize, and we have not achieved anything through the Organization of African Union. There was consensus on this matter, but how to go about a new structure? How do we restructure? Anyway, I don't want to go and talk about that in detail, but again, it's wasted time. And when you talk about IGAD, SADC, ECOWAS, or any other sub-regional arrangement, you can't dissociate yourself from the situation that affects the whole continent. In fact, people talk about a globalizing age. We live in a globalizing age where the continents of the world are interactive while we are marginalized in the continent. I may not be knowledgeable about the details of situation in West Africa or South Africa or North Africa. I may talk about our sub-region, but I don't exclude the possibility that IGAD in its own will not be a dynamic sub-regional organizations to solve this problem in isolation from what we see happening in our neighborhood, the bigger neighborhood. That's where we need to address the issue, and we may think about restructuring IGAD, reorganizing IGAD. A lot of ideas may come on that issue, but you have to look at it at a broader scale, and I can tell you we can have ideas, but we cannot overextend ourselves and claim to have a role here and there and try to bring about dramatic change. That's not true. Definitely we'll continue working hard, endeavoring to achieve the ultimate goals. These ideals are not, unachievable. They've been there since the founding of this continent's organization. And does everyone question the validity of the ideals of the founding fathers? It's a reality. They were products of their own time, and they had their aspirations, and that aspiration was set along the continent. That same aspiration is what we still retain as an aspiration in the 21st century. Have we achieved anything? Not at all. And we don't want to be or remain marginalized continually. Mm. That's where we come to talk about IGAD. Isolating IGAD or trying to focus on IGAD and find a solution for that without a broader approach and solution, because IGAD can only work or perform within a broader scope that includes the continent.